Y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Here in the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, we give you that sports talk in layman's terms. It gets a little raw in here, so if you like your sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. All right, let's get to it. Welcome back, y'all, to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. We are your gracious hosts, Chris.
And Jonathan.
You know, I want to give a quick shout out to all the mothers. This weekend is Mother's Day, and when this airs, Mother's Day will probably have passed. So I want to give a shout out to our mom, of course. And
definitely.
Mother-in-laws. And,
definitely.
You know, all the mothers out there that we know, all of them that have sacrificed for your kids or, you know, working two jobs, you know, either with another parent or by yourself. You know, we love y'all. We support y'all. And, you know, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for y'all. So we love y'all mothers and happy Mother's Day.
Exactly. Definitely want to echo the same sentiment. So to all the mothers out there, happy Mother's Day. And hope you have a good one and enjoy the great time with your loved ones. So now on to the nitty gritty.
Oh yeah. So it's getting sick. You know, the draft has been this weekend. You know, of course, when the NFL got so popping,
it trumps the NFL, the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, it trumps everything. The NBA playoffs. You know, first round was awesome. But I mean, you get spoiled after that first round. So
been a lot of blowouts this round.
Yeah. But it's been some good ones, too. So we're going to get into all of that. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we got our Noise Awards in the What the Fuck moment for y'all as well.
Yes, sir.
So you know what? This is the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour brought to you by the Black Is Network. You can find all our podcasts on Stitcher Radio and iTunes. You can also find us at www.blackisonline.com. Please leave us ratings and comments. Let us know what you think. We love the five-star variety, you know, but you know, we love a review regardless. So you can hit that on iTunes, on Stitcher, and on the website as well. If y'all want to hit us up directly, please do. Our email is thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter, @brotherslayman. Hit us up on the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, hit us up. Any questions, comments, concerns you guys may have, anything y'all want to know, anything y'all want to dish out to us, let us know, and we will definitely get back at you.
Holla. Hey, yeah. Hey, man, shout out to @JWQB on Twitter. Listen to our last episode and actually gave us some love and said he enjoyed it. That's not him. he enjoyed it and he loved the little awards at the end. So we appreciate it, man.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
You know, we appreciate everybody who's been retweeting the show and, just leaving your feedbacks.
Please continue to do so.
Oh, yeah. All right. So let's hit the NFL. The NFL draft popping off. You know, who's going first, all of that. That part seemed to be pretty easy at the end. Jadeveon Clowney.
I mean, it was pretty simple. I mean, he is the best, if you want to say, overall prospect. Yeah. Clearly. I mean, he's 6'6", 270, runs a 4.5 40, you know, bench presses 28 times and whatnot. Athletic as heck, explosive. I mean, the man's got it all. There are questions about his motor in college, but I mean, look. Everybody said he could have been the first pick in the draft last year. Everybody was like, oh, should he even hold out? Should he not go? Should he not play? Should he hold out? And then next thing you know, it's like, oh, he don't play hard. He's not playing hard. It's like, well, on one end, I can't knock him for not trying. He's not. He's probably not trying to get hurt. It was half the thing. But I mean, secondly, he's being double, triple teamed. I mean, what the hell do you want me to do? And they're triple teaming me, and they're running in the opposite direction. What the hell am I supposed to do? So I mean, when he wasn't really a known. I mean, let's be honest. The hit that he put on that Michigan player made him known. That's what blew him up. Before then, there was nobody talking about Jadeveon Clowney like that. I mean, you heard about him like, this kid is, he's really good. But then that hit is what put him on the map. Was like, oh, human highlight. Yeah. There it is. That's what he needed. That just lifted him onto the scene. It was like, oh, let's do our research. Well, shit, he's putting up crazy numbers, getting crazy sacks and all this other stuff. Now he's a known person. Now that you're known, guys do their film, they do their work. Yeah, we're going to shy away from you. I mean, he's a physical specimen.
Right.
Who comes around every once in a lifetime. I mean, yeah. Guys like this don't...
Although we know that. We've heard that
many label. Times.
Guys like this don't come around every now and then. It's once in a generation talent.
But, I mean, for him, he I think he will succeed and excel. I think... Shoot,
next to J.J. Watt?
You know what I'm saying? So, J.J. Watt's going to push him to make him good. So, I mean, he's going to a good place.
Yeah, he's going... You know, defense has been pretty good. I don't know if Cushion... Is Cushion there? Still?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, their defense
is going to be sick.
Pretty good. I mean, now you know everything about his work ethic and all that. He's playing next to a stud who is not going to let him do that and is going to push him, like you said. And, you know, this is probably the best place for him. I mean, you know, should they have – clearly there was no legit stud quarterback.
No.
So, you know, you take the best player and he's the best player. You know – Greg Robinson to the Rams, offensive tackle.
Nice pick for them. They need offensive line help, so that, I mean, that was just kind of a no-brainer when it came up.
Got to keep Sam Bradford upright and at least make sure. Let's see if he's going to be the one.
Exactly.
You know, Blake Bortles went to the Jags.
That was their first surprise. Everybody was like, oh, snap. Me, I kind of think it works because what people don't take into account is the weather conditions that you have to deal with in this state of Florida. You know, the hurricanes and the rain and all of that stuff. It's not the easiest conditions to play in. So, he's been playing in it. He succeeded. So, I mean, clearly he can thrive in that condition. And I personally think that took a little bit of an account into him getting picked up by Jacksonville. I mean, he's playing right in their backyard. They got to analyze him probably a lot more than most because he's playing right there. And like I said, the weather conditions make a big difference. He's shown he can play in him. He's a big guy. He's like 6'5", 235. So he's athletic. He can move a little bit. Everybody compares him to Ben Roethlisberger. So, I mean, you know, we'll see what they can do. Right. They've added some pieces. They got Marquise Lee in the second round, which was big. So, I mean, they're adding some pieces around him. And we'll see. He'll battle with Chad Henne to see if he can start.
Yeah, he may not. But
he's good. He needs work. I mean, he's not a finished product by any means. He needs work. No, so,
you know, Jacksonville, just getting the quarterback is not just automatically going to change their fortunes.
But, I mean, this is their franchise guy going forward.
All right, let's round up the top five. Cleveland ended up trading a pick. Bills got up.
Which was brilliant.
Yeah.
Got them a first-round pick next year. I'm like, great. They got two first-round picks again.
Yeah, that was smooth. So the Bills end up taking Sammy Watkins. Which was basically like, John the Cummings like, oh, Stevie Johnson, bye-bye.
See you later. So, I mean, hey, nice move by the Bills to add some pieces for E.J. Manuel. Mm-hmm. I mean, people forget E.J. Manuel was just a rookie last year, first year. And, I mean, he showed some flashes of good potential.
Right.
So, he got a little banged up. So, I'm sure he learned now you can't run all the time like you were in college. You got to stand in that pocket and throw the ball. Yeah. So they're putting weapons around him. Sammy Watkins, clear cut, the best wide receiver in the draft. And I mean,
yeah, you know, you got the two headed Fred Jackson, CJ Spiller.
Exactly.
You know, last season,
Robert Woods last year.
Yeah, and they spent a lot of money on defense last season. Mm-hmm. So, no, this is something they needed. And the Raiders.
Hey, I got to give it to the Raiders. They came up in this draft. They got Khalil Mack. What?
Yeah.
Booyah. That was perfectly handed to them, gift wrapped to them. And then just the icing on the cake, they were hand wrapped Derek Carr in the second round. Now they got that quarterback for the future.
I saw that.
Done. I got to give credit to the Raiders. They have had a very successful offseason. You got Lamar Woodley, Justin Tuck, Antonio Smith. Now you add Khalil Mack.
Yeah. Kind of give some use. I mean, to that defense.
They're trying to. They're putting some pass rushers on that team. I mean, clearly, you know, if you want to win, you got to get to the quarterback. They have the best quarterback in the league in their division. They know they if they going to have any shot at beating Denver, they going to have to put Peyton on the ground. That's just what it is.
Yeah.
Period. Or Tom Brady, or we got to play the NFC West this year, so they going up against the Colin Kaepernicks and your Russell Wilson, so you got to get guys who can get after the quarterback.
Yeah,
that's why they stacking in pass rushers. They have finally learned that, damn it, we just got to get some good players. Yeah, I mean, that's just what it is.
They got to invest.
We can't just get the fastest guy. You need good football players.
Nah, they transitioning from that Al Davis exactly. regime thing. Yeah, I mean, you know, Seattle put the blueprint. I mean, that blueprint's been there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just that the defense doesn't sell tickets, doesn't move the turnstile. But it got you that ring, though.
But defense wins championships, as we learned.
In case you didn't, you know, we repeat it all the damn time. It's been shown.
Defense
may not be exciting to watch, but who cares?
Exactly.
You get that ring, get holding that trophy. You like, I love me some defense.
Exactly.
And then, so I'm about to say, who you think out of the first round? Since you into it, I watch it a little bit, but Jonathan is the real student.
Oh, I love it.
The draft. What do you think rounding out the first round? Who you know? What do you think were some solid picks and who did some reaching? Because I heard it was a lot of reaching. In the top ten,
I mean, reach-wise, let's look at the board. I mean, Falcons took Jake Matthews. That was perfect for them. They need offensive line help.
Yeah,
the Buccaneers, now they added Austin Stephen Jenkins as well, tight end who's 6'6". You got Mike Evans who's 6'5", or Jensen Jackson who's 6'5". Are you kidding me? Just throw the ball in the air. There it is. Somebody's going to pluck it out and touchdown.
Then you got Doug Martin.
I'm just saying, Lovie Smith got pieces he can work with now. He's going to get that defense right. So, I mean, they had a nice one. And the Browns, you know what? I got to show them some love. They took Justin Gilbert with the trade down that they made. I like Justin Gilbert. He was considered the best cornerback in the draft coming in. So, I mean, put him opposite Joe Hayden. I think that's going to make a very good tandem in the future. Mm-hmm. And they got Johnny Football. I mean, let's be honest. They already sold 4,000 more tickets for the season. I mean, that's part of the reason you are getting him.
Right.
It's for the PR, for the hype, for all of that. So, hey, we all know Cleveland doesn't have anything going right now. They needed something. Mm-hmm. So, clearly the owner was like, damn it, we need something to bring people here. Yeah. Johnny Manziel. And, I mean, in all honesty, he's going to get a shot to start. They're going to give him an opportunity. He's going to
start over.
He might. They said it's going to be an open competition against him and Brian Hoyer. They'll see who starts, so we shall see.
He might sit a year, you know, but he ain't going to be sitting that long.
Nah, he ain't going to be sitting that long. I mean, one question mark I did have. I mean, the Lions, they took Eric Ebron. I mean, tight end. That was you just re-signed Brandon Pettigrew, so you're getting another tight end. You're trying to get more weapons. I understand, but I heard somebody say there is something as having too many damn weapons. This is almost that case where you're like, Jesus Christ, you got Reggie Bush, Calvin Johnson, Golden Tate, Eric Ebron now, Brandon Pettigrew. It's like, Jesus, come on, man. Like, there's a little too much going on here now.
They didn't take his option, so he might be leaving at the next season and sue. So maybe they should have gone the
defensive route, I believe. But I gotta give some love to my Broncos. They were able to pull out and get Bradley Roby, cornerback from Ohio State, who, for all intents and purposes, the last 2 years ago was considered the best cornerback in college football. He got in a little bit of trouble in the offseason with a little DUI problem and whatnot. Said he's cleaned up his act. I mean, like I've said, you got to give these kids opportunities to make mistakes. He made a mistake. He apologized for it. He owned up to it. And, I mean, he fell right into their lap. It was a beautiful – as far as value goes, that was top-notch because he was considered to go in the top 15. So that was wonderful. And then you got Teddy Bridge. Got to give some love to Minnesota. They jumped back at the end of the first, got them their quarterback of the future.
So that's right.
You got him, Adrian Peterson, Cordarrelle Patterson, Kyle Rudolph. I mean, they got pieces now to work with. So I think they're going to make a nice push for that division crown.
Boom. For that division.
They're gonna push Green Bay.
And Chicago.
2 years ago, they won the division,
right?
And weren't even that good. So I mean, they had an off season.
You think they reached? Because I heard a lot of people say they reached for Anthony Barr. And
I mean, prior to the season, Anthony Barr going into this season, Anthony Barr was quote unquote like a top five pick. So I mean, he started off as a running back. He switched to defense a couple years later. I mean, he's still learning the nuances, but potentially he's right in the around that area in the top 10 to where he should go.
Okay.
Because, I mean, he can rush, he can pass rush, and that's what it's about. They lost Jared Allen. They need a replacement. There he is. Boom. So, hey, I love a kid out of UCLA. I think he has very good potential to be good. You know, there's that P word, but, you know, we shall see. And I mean, unfortunately, for the kid Calvin Benjamin, for the Panthers, he's going to have a lot of pressure on him because he is going to be the wide receiver going into the season. So, unfortunately, rookie, all eyes are on you. You got to produce now.
Yeah.
But I mean, shoot, everything. He's 6'5", 240. He's built like a freaking tight end. So, if he can use that size to his advantage, he's going to have a hell of a season.
Yeah, you were telling about talking about A.J. McCarron, and I saw his tweet like, you know, I'm going you think I had a chip over my shoulder beforehand.
Well, he said – he came out and said, yeah, I heard I'm going in the first round and all this other stuff. And I heard that kind of rubbed executives the wrong way. And they're like, who told you that? kind of thing. And listening to Mel Kiper and them, I guess part of it is that their agents are feeding them this info.
Of course.
So, I mean, you can – yeah, you trust your agent. But at the same time, you have to understand your agent is also kind of doing what's best for them as well, and is in their best interest and not always yours. So I would say before you just go shouting out what your agent just told you and all this other stuff, you know, keep some of that stuff to yourself because you never know. This might have came around and just bit him in the butt, and that is why he has slid and nobody has picked him yet. Plus, I mean, going in. He doesn't have the strongest arm. He's not very mobile. I mean, I think personally with a good supporting cast, he can be a very good starter who can lead a team to the playoffs and whatnot. He's a very good leader. I mean, clearly he can win.
Right.
Is he like a franchise quarterback? Probably not. He's probably more of a backup.
Mm-hmm.
But if he needs to play and fill in, if you got a good supporting cast, a la your 49ers, your Seahawks or something along those lines, I think he can fill in admirably.
I'm just checking on here. And I noticed that when I was watching the draft, I'm still going to hear that Bishop Sankey out of Washington was the first running 54. Back taken. I was like,
54. Yep.
I was watching the first round. I'm like, I'm doing a running back taking yet. Wow. Times have changed.
It's a passing league. Running backs have
Thanks,
been.
Thanks, Trent Richardson.
Running backs have been devalued. As have middle linebackers. Now, if you're a middle linebacker, you got to be able to cover and stop the run. It ain't no just you can do one thing anymore. That ain't good enough now.
Yeah, it seemed like, you know, watching the draft, at least through the first round, it was all, you know, all you read about is all the flash, you know, all these flash positions in the NFL, wide receiver, quarterback, running back, all that. And then come times for the draft, they rarely get drafted high. It's always linemen. Yeah. Tackles, corners.
That's things. Where it starts. It always starts. They always say it starts on the defensive line. So that's where you start. And I mean, in this league, in this day and age, it's a passing league. So you need guys who can rush the passer, which is why that's where you're going to lean 9 times out of 10. You need guys that can cover, which is why you're going to lean towards your defensive backs. And I mean, when it comes to linebackers, you got tight ends now who are 6'5", 260, running 4.4 40s. I mean, you got to be fast. You got to be able to cover them. You got to be big enough. I mean, the whole way of just being a middle linebacker, the old school way of being a middle linebacker is gone. That's just dead.
Yeah.
Same with the running back. There's rarely any 3-down running backs. Adrian Peterson is the exception. Right.
But even then now.
But even now, there's kind of like, well, he needs a break. We need to stop. We need to lighten his load. Same with Jamal Charles. We need to lighten his load. We need a two-back system and all this other stuff.
Yeah, guys getting 300 carries a season.
Because guys are faster. That. They're bigger. They're stronger. They're getting hit harder. They're getting banged up.
Like the more mileage we put on you early, you know, the quicker you're going to run out of gas. And we got to replace you in like 4 years.
They come a dime a dozen. So, you know, unfortunately, your Jim Browns, your Emmitt Smiths, and all that stuff is a thing of the past. You probably will not see like. You will not see a running back be like a 16-year, I'm with the same franchise, I'm putting up 15,000 yards all time. I mean, Adrian Peterson may be the last one we ever see.
Yeah. Honestly.
Running back, he's probably the last one we will ever see. Now it's just – I mean, even Monty Ball, he's going to get the bulk of the carries, but he's still going
to
have –
It's always going to at least be a two-back.
Yeah, there's always going to be two backs, so –
Let's see. Another question for you for the draft. We are now, look like we're into round five. Where do you see Michael Sam going? Because I know everybody talking about that. We ain't forgot about him since his all this hoopla. Do you think he will get drafted, and so what round?
It depends. I mean, because you look at, I'm sure a lot of these guys who do a lot of digging in the draft, they look at a lot of the name players and they're like, well, he's available and he's available. So he can't go before him and all this stuff. But you always see unknown guys who are picked before these known guys. So scouts do their homework. They do their digging. They know what they want. And I mean, with Michael Sam, he's a situational player. Mm-hmm. So normally with a draft pick, so to speak, you want a guy that you think you can at least develop. And at least maybe potentially could turn him into a starter or something along those lines.
Right.
Or a role player at least down the future. So maybe in the sixth or seventh round, okay. I could see somebody just taking a flyer just because there's no real guaranteed money involved. Right. You know, he'd be a seventh round pick, so I don't think it would be that big of a story. It would kind of it wouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah, they'll talk about it just cause and
because at that point it's like you may not even make the damn team.
Yeah. And the pomp and circumstance that he got when he first decided to let everybody know he was gay before the papers told everybody. That was a big deal. Now it's like,
but
he might get it. I know there'll be, if he doesn't get drafted, there'll probably be, why did he not get drafted? Is it blah, blah, blah?
I don't necessarily think so. I think once the draft process is over, if he's not drafted, he has the right to go wherever he wants.
Right.
So I'm sure he'll get calls from other teams like, yo, we're interested. We want to bring you in for camp. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just a matter of he'll pick the right choice for him.
Mm-hmm.
He may pick somewhere like Kansas City close to home or somewhere along I don't know.
Right.
But, you know,
he'll make somebody's roster. Yeah. I think so. I think he'll make somebody's roster going into the season. Yeah.
So we'll see. Once he gets on somebody's roster, once the initial wave of, oh, he's on your team happens, it'll die down. It'll pass.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to care anymore.
Nope. It's all about can he play.
Yep.
Are you shocked that I'm all about the show, Dallas Cowboys didn't take Johnny Manziel?
I was sitting up at my TV just watching like, are they going to pick this fool? But Jerry Jones made the right call. He did the right thing for the team.
Yeah, Jerry Jones, the general manager.
Finally got it. I mean, he got it right. I mean, last year I thought it was a reach, reaching for Travis Frederick last year. But he played really well, starting center for them. This year they got Zach Martin. I thought that was a nice pick. You got Tony Romo coming off back surgery. I mean, clearly you can't have him getting beat up, so you need to protect him. And they're building a solid foundation on their offensive line. That's where it starts. You got to be able to protect these guys. So give him more time. You know, he'll have more time to be able to find his open receivers. And, you know, we'll see what happens. So I like what Jerry Jones did. I think had he brought in Johnny Football – There would have just been too much of a distraction.
Yeah.
Like, there's one thing as just to have a distraction, but I think he would have been just – it would have been Tim Tebow all over again. Tony Romo, hurry up and screw up so we can see Johnny Football. Like, I think people would honestly want Tony Romo to fail. It'd be like, hurry up and lose so we can get Johnny Football in.
Yeah.
It would be the same thing with Tim Tebow. Get him in. You would have fans putting up billboards and all this stuff for Johnny Football. Like, put him in. That's who we want playing. He need to play. And it wouldn't shock me if some idiot like a Dez Bryant came out and said something along them lines if they got in a little bit of a slump. And then here we go. And then all the gates open.
Oh, yeah, because some reporter's gonna set the bait. I'm going to throw this bait out.
And somebody's going to take it.
Do you think you guys would play better with another quarterback here? Do you guys need some fresh energy? Well, maybe we do. Oh,
there it is. He said it.
He said he wanted Johnny Manziel to start.
So I think Jerry did the right thing. Was just like, I think this might be even a little bit too much for me. So let me just back off of this.
It's just like, dude, you lost. Like, your quarterback's hurt. You lost DeMarcus Ware. Yep. I mean, you need – like, you ain't winning the Super Bowl with that crappy defense. Nope. So –
yeah,
you got other pieces that are needed. Quarterback is not your issue.
That would have been a luxury.
We disagree on his ranking, but you ain't getting anybody right now who's better than Tony Romo. You just need to get some fucking control of your team and get them some focus.
Yeah.
Seriously. Rather than that, and just, let's have a show.
Exactly.
You're like, all right, because I'm going to say after he throws one of his 2-4 interception games, because he usually does two of them a season, we want Johnny.
It's all you would hear. So I'm glad Johnny Football, fine. He went in the end of the first round towards the end. I guess that's fine by my standards.
Bad luck at the 22nd. Hey, man, saw that. It was like Brady Quinn went 22nd to Cleveland.
I'm just saying, and I mean, I'm not pulling for him to lose. I mean, not by any means. Personally just think I would not have taken him that early.
We're not John Gruden. John Gruden. Oh, my God.
John Gruden loves him. Skip Bayless loves that fool.
If they don't take him, they're stupid. He and Mel Kiper were just like, Mel Kiper was like, no.
Yeah. They're like, no, whatever. So, I mean, history says he's really not going to do well. I'm just saying history says. Because he's going to Cleveland, they haven't really had much success. And honestly, history says Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks normally aren't successful in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just history. That's just what it is. Right. So I hope the kid does well. I'm not rooting against him by any means. So good luck to him. Hopefully he can throw some energy in there. You got Jordan Cameron. You got perhaps a Josh Gordon.
We'll get into that later.
Nate Burleson's dinged up. So, I mean, you got Greg Little that's left. And you added Ben Tate. They should have. Granted, I like the Justin Gilbert pick.
Yeah, their defense is good.
They should have picked a wide receiver at number, at least in the second round. I mean, you could have taken one at the end of the first where you took Johnny Football, but you.
First, I was just like, you wouldn't want to have Sammy Watkins next to Josh Gordon, and
I'm
then
saying
and
like
then now like, since you knew.
But, I mean, getting that extra first-round pick for next year was enticing, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is –
because in all honesty, that is supposed to be, quote-unquote, a better quarterback class than this one. You got Marcus Mariota coming out from Oregon.
Yeah.
You got Brett Hundley from UCLA who's supposed to come out. You got Bryce Petty who's supposed to come out from Baylor. So, I mean, you got good quarterbacks who's supposed to be here. Marcus Mariota, quote-unquote, would have been the number one pick had he come out this year, a la your Andrew Luck. I'm just saying, if Johnny Football flops this year and Cleveland happens to get the number one pick, could it be possible they take Marcus Mariota? I'm just throwing it out there.
Ooh.
I'm just throwing it out there. So I maybe trade Johnny Football to Dallas. I don't know. I don't know. They don't make as much money now, so it could be possible.
They may.
I'm just saying. So I'm just throwing that out there.
Speaking of trades, when they went up to get Sammy Watkins, they decided, let's trade Stevie Johnson. So right after we were like, he ain't going to be there no more. Stevie Johnson's going to the Niners.
Nice pickup by the Niners. I got to give the Niners some credit. They've been doing a great job with the draft and in their offseason, man. I mean, we heard all the hoopla about Jim Harbaugh and GM and they going at it and all this stuff, but that seemed to have died down. Now, they're just kind of focused on the matter at hand, trying to get themselves ready for the season. They picked up Carlos Hyde. They have so many running backs. That's the one thing about them. But they've had a great draft. They added Stevie Johnson to team up with Michael Crabtree and Anquan Boldin. Vernon Davis. Yeah, I mean, that's nice.
Yeah, that's a nice. Because a lot of people are like, they need a wide receiver. I'm like, they don't need a wide receiver like that.
They got one.
To me, I'm like, Colin Kaepernick's quarterbacking. So his number one wide receiver to me would be Crabtree.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I'd actually put Anquan Boldin over Vernon Davis for Kaepernick. Yeah. Purposes, because Vernon Davis don't get catches like he should.
And I mean, it's going to be up to Kaepernick to capitalize on the fact mm-hmm. that they even got Stevie Johnson. Yeah. So he's going to have to sit in the pocket and throw the ball and be successful at it.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah, more weapons. Of course, we all know that this team first option is Frank Gore, as it should be.
So, I mean, at this point, is it fair to say with the weapons they've added and with the experience Colin Kaepernick has gotten. He's been to the Super Bowl, been to the NFC Championship, has started a full 16-game season. They added the necessary pieces around him. You got Frank Gore. You got a great offense. Is it fair to say no excuses now?
Oh, this Super Bowl a bust. I mean, they've clearly been a top three team in this league. You know, they're basically number two.
Mm-hmm.
In their conference behind Seattle.
You can argue number two in the league. Honestly. Yeah.
Two best teams in the league in that division. Mm-hmm. Everybody was like, this is a Super Bowl game. So, mm-hmm. yeah, they either make it to the Super Bowl or something's wrong.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is with them. They got everything
to me,
that's needed.
There's four teams in the NFL that are pretty much Super Bowl or bust teams. And it's mm-hmm. Seattle, San Francisco, Denver, New England.
Yep.
That's it. Those are basically your Super Bowl or bust teams. Anybody else, if you make it to the Super Bowl, that's kind of a bonus.
Right. You were good, but I mean, those four teams.
Those are the elite teams in the NFL right now.
Those four teams, you did not make the Super Bowl.
That's something wrong.
That's a disappointment.
Yeah.
Somebody got some checks. Got shown the money.
Uh-oh.
Show me the money.
Richard Sherman. Since we're talking about Seattle, Richard Sherman. 4-year, $57 million, $40 million guaranteed.
Absolutely crushed. Aqib Talib's $26 million guaranteed. Crushed, just blew it out of the water. So, I mean, hey, good for Richard Sherman. He's proven, I mean, over the past few years since he's been in the league, he has been the best cornerback. I mean, the numbers prove it and back it up.
Mm-hmm.
So he's
definitely been in the discussion.
I cannot knock him for, getting paid. So it's a lot of money for a corner. I mean, now you got guys who are going to want to top this in the future. So it sets the bar kind of high,
mm-hmm.
but I can't say he has not earned it.
No, and then they signed.
And then you signed Earl Thomas to a 40 mil. He's mm-hmm. the highest paid safety now. Those two honestly are the ones who get the whole defense going. Had to lock those.
Basically the best corner and the best safety. You locked them up.
As good as Cam Chancellor is, Earl Thomas is that guy.
Earl Thomas is that dude.
Yeah. So you had to lock at least those two up.
Yeah.
Everybody else.
Super Bowl MVP Earl Bennett got a nice contract, too. So, they're locking them up. And
the next guy they got to work on is Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and these are the type of guys. These aren't guys who are like, all right, I got paid. All right, I'm good.
Yeah.
Richard Sherman,
now he going to work.
Yeah, these guys are like, and you paid them well. You didn't just kind of like, well, let me just give you just enough for you to be happy mm-hmm. so you don't complain. They were like, we believe in y'all. Here you go.
And they're
going to be motivated. They'll be like, all right, now we got paid. Let's go. We got paid.
And I'm happy for Richard Sherman mm-hmm. to see where the guy came from to where he is now, coming from Compton. Mm-hmm. Now he's top-notch cornerback in the NFL. That's a dream come true.
Yeah, and I liked his comment about Roger Goodell and would they do
real.
The same thing?
That's real.
I'm like, hell no, they wouldn't do that.
Look at the team.
Yeah, he was like, they got a team in the Redskins.
Thank you. I mean, that wasn't even a question. Is that really a question?
Right. It's like, NBA is actually forcing the guy out. Yeah. You're not even forcing the guy to change the name of the team.
I'm like, the owner is bribing people to not change it, basically. I mean, come on. Are you serious? So the NFL got some work to do on the racist and the racial issue.
Basically, it hasn't affected the shield.
Because when
you start tainting the shield.
We saw that.
There we go.
With Riley Cooper, Roger Goodell kind of was like, okay.
Y'all handle it.
Y'all take care of it.
Y'all handle it.
Y'all take care of it. So, I mean, and now you have this issue. I ain't heard Roger Goodell say a word about the Redskin issue. So,
I don't know. Right. What about Jim Irsay? Crickets.
Yep. That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, you clearly see the NBA is taking action. That's why I said Adam Silver, I think, set a standard for all sports. Mm-hmm. And I think other fans are going to, in other sports, are going to take notice. Like, whoa, the NBA is doing something. Y'all need to get on it. Y'all need to get on it then.
Yeah. They,
take
know,
some action.
Because we know Goodell, they about that paper.
Yeah.
And he worried about trying to get extra games and, you know, more teams.
I'm so glad
I'm
so glad nothing changed for this season as far as more playoff games and all that stuff.
I don't know if I want just one team to have a bye. I mean, I it would add for more competition, but
my thing is why
having a bye.
My thing is the playoffs is something where you're supposed to earn it. That is supposed to be basically a reward for accomplishing a great regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So what the hell am I? We have a private club, and now all of a sudden you want me to make it public. Everybody just come in.
So now you get now you get one more. So now the team who was used to, like, well, we get the number two seed, we good. And it's like, oh, now we got to keep playing.
Like, for what?
Now we got seven teams in the league. Because we're trying to add an extra game for
money.
And my
thing is, I don't care. If you're 7-9 and win your division, you know what? Your division should have been fucking better then. That is not your fault. You should be rewarded for doing your job and winning your division.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah. So, regardless of your record, you should be rewarded for it. So, I leave it as is. Leave it alone.
We know they're going to change something again next year. They love tinkering with all the rules and all of that crap. Just leave it alone, man. Leave it alone.
So, we'll see how this N-word on the field rule goes.
I forgot all about that shit.
Exactly.
And they're going to bring it up. Mm. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, get into some of this NBA playoff talk.
For sure.
Round two, baby.
Yes, sir.
Y'all listen to the Brothers Lamin Sports Happy Hour.
Holla.
Tired of this weak shit. Okay. Your style been ran through like a freak bitch. The pussy club got you angry, what you frequent. Air hard ass nigga in your sequence. Might as well shop at Victoria's Secret. Have a gift wrap, you some I love pink shit. Rent due and y'all niggas to link with. You better find another nigga to link with. Cause the nigga you link with's a lie fool. I used to bully that monkey nigga in high school. Sit at the lunch table, steal and eat his damn food. The pretty girls, they say Michael a damn fool. I get my work on and get my flirt on. I say fuck him, he a pussy, put a skirt on.
Bitch nigga, think I remember you nigga.
I say fuck him, he a pussy, put a skirt on.
1, 2, 3, ready, set, go. Make you niggas get right or get low. 1, 2, 3, ready, set, go. Make you niggas get right or get low. Get low, get low, get right, right. Call him killer, kill from the villa.
How it's gonna get bigger with that nigga, the B.I.G. and the microphone killer. Jack the Ripper, all thriller, no filler. Less I'm filling your bra up with the snicker. I drill her while you finger prick her. That means she barely feel a bang when you hit her. Boy, I drop these bangs like a saber-tooth tigger. A tiger, the prehistoric rap writer. And I'ma keep my foot on the neck on all of these non-rhyming sack biters. The golden arm, Johnny United's rap titan. Boy, your life is like sterling silver. It needs a little shining. Steadily styling on you suckers like a hairdo. Beauty parlor rapping ass niggas, we say how dare you. I can't stand you, you making a game soft like a bantu. I'm blowing this bitch down like I'm Hurricane Andrew. It's Dungeon Family and my man's too. Grind time, grand hustle, fucker, we will drag you, drag you.
Welcome back to the Brothers Lamin Sports Happy Hour. Y'all want to chime in, give us any comments, any feedback, let us know your thoughts on the draft or anything whatsoever that we talking, or you just want to hit us up, start a conversation. Y'all have something you want us to discuss, let us know. TheBrothersLamin@gmail.com, on Twitter, @BrothersLamin. Hit us up on the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely appreciate y'all for tuning in and keeping on listening to us. So thank you very much.
All right. So first round was excellent.
Oh, first round was fantastic. One of the best first rounds ever.
Yep. Now we on to ever seen. Now we on to the second round,
which has been kind of so-so. First of all, let's just get this out the way. Did I not? What did I say about the Brooklyn Nets? What did I say? I told you Miami was going to smop the floor with them because they went seven games with Toronto, and now they're gassed. You saw they kept it close in game two, and then it was like, oh, no, we ain't got no more energy. Exactly. Miami's just going to run. Miami's going to sweep them. Or I said they were losing five, but the way things are going, it wouldn't shock me at all if Miami swept them.
Yeah, I have Miami at six, but damn. They need to win tonight, man.
They're old, and they're worn, and they're tired.
You know what? I know we're getting close to at the end. We give out our little awards for the week. I remember the last one we was talking. You were like, Darren Williams, he's been disappearing. You know, he was okay in game one. Game two, he was like a damn no-show.
This is what I'm saying, man. We were talking about him 2 years ago. He was arguably a top 3-point guard.
Now he
may not even be top 10. Like, his skills, I don't know if his skills have diminished or what, but it's like as soon as he signed on that dotted line for that contract, he's been terrible. Soon as he left Utah, he's been garbage. Yeah,
he's been injury prone ever since.
So I don't know if it was Jerry Sloan or what, but it's not clicking. And I mean, for a guy who is this talented, I don't know what's going on, but he's going to have to get it together.
Yeah, I mean.
Otherwise, he's...
Yeah, the 7 rebounds and 6 assists are nice, but 0 on 0 of 9 shooting.
He looks old.
I mean, who's... Yeah. Like, I'm like, you came in the same year as Chris Paul. Chris Paul don't seem old. But I'm looking at you like, did you come in the same year as Paul Pierce and Garnett? Because damn.
I think that's the aura of the oldness around them.
Jesus. It is. Like
you got Jason Kidd's old self. Paul Pierce, KG, Andre Kirilenko, just the aura of old people.
And Kirilenko ain't. I'm kind of surprised that Jason Kidd hasn't at least put Kirilenko. Like he didn't even play the last game. I figured you play him on. I mean, look, LeBron is stronger, yes, but he is long, and it's just another guy to throw at LeBron. And the dude, his game is defense. You need some defense.
I'm just saying, Jason Kidd is a first-year head coach. He's still learning. It's playoff time. You have to learn how to adjust and all of that stuff. You know, this is not stuff you just learn on the fly. This is why I firmly believe in sitting down and learning for a few years as an assistant.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't run into this. So you're not like, oh, we're down 0-2. What the hell do I do? You have a plan going in. You have a game plan. You make adjustments. Now they're going to get their butts kicked.
And let me see on him. This dude who has been missed MIA, Kevin Garnett ain't done crap in these first two games.
Another one. They're old.
Yeah, 12
KG
boards.
Has fallen off the map.
Yeah, 2-8. He had 12 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals, but just 4 points. I'm like, you got to have some impact.
In all honesty, the way it's looking, I cannot knock Danny Ainge for shedding cap room. Because, I mean, if this is how they were going to play, Boston was going to be bad anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly. Why not get the cap room? And I can start fresh and start the rebuilding process a year earlier. I can't knock them for that because they look old. I mean, KG's on his last leg. Paul Pierce is on his last. I mean, you can just see they're pretty much done. Watching KG, honestly, it's almost sad to watch because he's not the same KG. He's not. He clearly
not even for 2 years.
You are young children. You are watching KG. Pat way that needs to retire after the season. I'm sorry, KG, but you do. You need to just give it up. Scoring 6 points here and 9 points here. That's not enough, dude. You are not the same intensified KG that I saw in Boston. Boston, that championship run you made in Boston, that was it. I think he put the last bit of energy he had into that, and that was it. He got his ring that he always coveted. And that was basically the icing on the cake for him. He don't need anything else for his career. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, no question.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, dude, retire tomorrow. You got more than enough money. I know you enjoy playing the game, but at some point you have to realize your time is up, your limitations are spent, and you've reached your peak, dude, and you're done. So there's no shame going out, dude. There's, honestly, KG, no shame.
Yeah, and I'm like, y'all.
Especially in the playoffs.
I need y'all to win the game. Don't, please, today is, well, shit, I was about to say with the playoffs, outside of game one, every game seems to be a must win. Hey, oh, you lost game one at home. Well, you better win game two.
I mean, I didn't really care about game one between them because we already.
But now look, it's like already two games. I hate this thing. Like it's four games. All you did was hold serve at home. Oh, well, y'all in trouble. I'm like, we lost the first two games at home. Yep. Like, even if they were down to the wire, it's like they won at home. Okay. All they did was take care of business at home. That's it.
Exactly.
So I hope Brooklyn come out today and play with, you know, they're playing at home a little better. You know, get something going because right now LeBron is just cruising with ease. I mean, he only had four boards, three assists, two steals.
They're not even playing hard.
No, Ray Allen showed up. 13 points, 8 boards.
They're not making Miami work, man. You got to make them work.
Wade got off. Bosch had a decent game. Chalmers gave you 11 points. I mean, you know, Rashard Lewis getting run. All right. You just,
that's what I'm saying. They're not pushing them hard enough. And then let's just.
The other game today. Yes, they are the nominee for the Noyce Award from me.
I told Chris, I know Chris is just like,
seven.
Just beat their ass and just get it over with. I don't want no close games. Just dominate every game, sweep them, get it over.
Going into game seven versus Dallas, I'm like, it's going to be. And then they were like, pow. We balling. And then it's like, all right, we playing Portland. Game one, whoop ass.
Game two,
same. Like, damn.
I told Chris, I think that Dallas series really woke up the Spurs. I think they got pushed and were like, you know what? What the hell are we doing? We were just in the finals last year. And I think, honestly, they woke up and was like, all right, Greg Popovich is like, enough's enough. Get out there and do what we're supposed to do. And yep. Tony Parker said they needed help from the bench. Bellinelli has been killing.
Yes.
They have been stepping up. Kawhi Leonard has been murdering. I mean, their big three have been balling. I mean, they have shut down Damian Lillard. And they basically said they haven't shut them down, but they have basically held Damian Lillard and LaMarcus Aldridge to basically nothing. And they're just like, all right, we'll have the rest of y'all beat us then. Nicholas Batum beat us. Wesley Matthews beat us. We're going to make all the rest of y'all beat us.
Yeah, because LaMarcus Aldridge had a good game one.
Damian Lillard did not.
No, and in game two, you know, he was 8 for 20.
I'm saying. They're like, hey, they are not allowing both of them to go off at the same time. It's not happening.
Nope. Tiago Splitter's done a decent job.
And Tony Parker looks like the best freaking point guard in the league.
Bow!
Everybody, you can say what they want about Chris Paul, but Tony Parker is looking like the best point guard in the league.
Done.
He is murdering. And it's like layup after layup, layup,
yeah, and
layup, layup, off mid-range,
right,
layup.
He didn't have the greatest game in game two, but, I mean,
had a double-double. Yep.
And they just getting it together. I mean, Kawhi Leonard came out big. You know, Tim Duncan was only 4-10. You know, he had a quiet game, but still, he's on defensive end. You know, Danny Green started showing up. I mean, yeah, Bellinelli waking up. I'm like, all right, let's go.
So,
Ginobili balling, Patty Miller. I mean, he even had a Aaron Baines in game one. I was like, the hell? You know, Popovich like, we wanted to give him time to give Tiago and Diaw and him a break, and he came in and just
They're doing the damn thing. So tonight, yes, is a must-win for Portland, because if Portland doesn't win tonight, they're done.
Yeah, and it's going to be hard. Look, we were up 2-0 on the last series and lost the next four, so I don't get overly hyped for shit when it comes to my team. I'm like, it's just, hey, all we did was hold serve at home. Now we need to steal one of these games on the road, preferably tonight. We know Portland's going to come out firing. You know, we might even be down like 12-4 early. It's just don't panic.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep executing, and then hopefully down the stretch we get a chance to pull it out.
Yeah, so Portland, I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge and company, y'all have to pull it together. Y'all just gotta play better offense. You gotta execute better. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's just what it is.
Shout out to RC Buford, winning executive of the year. Look at that.
Hey, just, I was like, I think that was his first one?
Yeah, it's the first one.
I'm like, damn, really? After all these years, yeah. The first time you've ever won it, okay.
And just re-signed.
I guess it's kind of the same thing with Greg Popovich. It's like, well.
Yeah. He got three. Yeah, re-signed, splitter.
We
re-signed.
Got rings. That speaks for itself.
Picking up Bellinelli.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Recap D.R. I mean, building.
Re-signed Tiago Splitter for the future.
Yeah, they were like, oh, that might seem like a lot of money. But
He's playing well.
I mean, granted, he don't dunk enough for my taste. Sometimes he's not aggressive enough at the rim at times, but I mean, he showed some nice moves around the paint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, catching the ball from Parker, getting rebounds, and
he seems to be that guy that the big that they're going to work with once Duncan is.
I mean, he's giving you a double double every mm-hmm. game. I mean, he may not be the offensive juggernaut. No. Well, he ain't nobody going to be Tim Duncan like that, but. I like what I'm seeing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It's on. So these two teams are, you know, one home court. These other games from yesterday. Let's start with the butt whooping first.
Because, I mean, hey, man, I gave the Wizards props going into this, but John Wall, you got to play better, my friend. You got to play much better. Them as a team, they just have to play better. I mean, even Indy offensively wasn't all that great. I mean, Washington, they just were terrible in the offensive standpoint. So, I mean, they won game one, which is great. But these last two games, got to give it up to Roy Hibbert, man. I mean, had donuts in the first game, but they have not been able to stop him in these past two. Yeah, and he's been very nice.
He was close to getting... To really getting that what the fuck award.
Yeah, seriously.
I was like, wait, you're the first All-Star to play in the playoffs in that same season and have multiple 0.0 rebound games. The hell is wrong with you, man?
Yeah, so looks like he's woken up a bit.
Yeah, I was happy. They took him, you know, they had the pictures of them going fishing and people was cracking jokes. And I was like, maybe it's just they're trying to just clear his head. Just like, look, we need you. You know, that David West moment after game one had me dying. They were like, oh, what do you think you need to do to get Roy Hibbert more involved? And he's just shaking his head like, I don't know. But I know, and, you know, they had that he and Rasul Butler pulled him to the side. Well, I know David West was like, get the fuck correct.
Well, I know he's stern, so I'm sure he just kind of chewed him out a little bit.
Like, this
I'm not playing.
This lack of effort, you know, that's what it is. Like if you're struggling to score, we get that. We don't need you to put up 20 some points all the time. But zero rebounds, and there is no I'm guarding a guy who's on the perimeter excuse from Atlanta. I'm like, you guarding Nene, you guarding Gortat.
Yep.
Bang, dude, what's up? Let's get this. So I was happy to see him come back. And he's a good dude, you know, mm-hmm. so you know, I'm the kind of guy, I like to see guys bounce back. I don't like seeing guys just suck the whole series. And, you know, of course, you know, he plays bad and we're going to pile on him. And, oh, he sucks donkey balls and trading him and blah, blah. Because I was like, I tell you what, the way he was playing, I was like, he is not, I don't think he is now. He is not guaranteed a All-Star spot next season.
Nope.
I tell you, Joakim Noah's going to make it if he's healthy. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, in this we don't like no center league when it comes to All-Star vote. We don't like centers. I don't see Joakim Noah will be the center because, you know, they're going to go with the three small forwards
mm-hmm.
unless Carmelo Anthony leaves the East, which would be a dumbass to do. That's it. It's going to be Gortat. It's going to be somebody else. He ain't getting it.
Nope. Brook Lopez.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, they don't need Brook Lopez. Brook Lopez, why they don't need him at all whatsoever. You're missing his ass
now, ain't you?
I heard it from a lot of people, man.
Y'all must have lost your mind. As far as I'm concerned, Brook Lopez is the best player on their team.
Well, Brook Lopez got hurt, and they just started playing better.
Brook Lopez is the best player they got.
So you're missing Brook Lopez now against Miami. You could be
He would be eating them alive.
Yeah, you'd have somebody to throw in the box.
He'd be getting 30 easily. He'd easily be averaging 30
points, 4 rebounds.
I mean, the man can't rebound Jack, but he can score his butt off.
Yeah, but this is what you want to see. Like, all right, Brook Lopez in the playoffs, what you going to do?
Yep, now he's hurt again. So he's injury prone.
Yep.
So, yeah, it is what it is.
But yeah, Paul George starting to play well. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're rolling. This was a nice momentum shifting win for the Pacers.
Yep.
They're starting to, you know, got two back-to-back nice solid games. Starting to get the momentum working again.
Exactly.
I never counted them out. It was just like they weren't the same team from last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they may get there. But right now, they're feeling good, as they should. Like you said, with the Wizards.
I mean, they're sloppy. A young team. Yeah, this is the first time they've been in the playoffs in some years.
63 points? And they lowest before in the playoffs was like 80-something? Like, damn. 32%.
Bradley Beal, 6-19. Nene was 3-14.
Too many shots.
I mean, Gortat, 2-7 with 4 points. John Wall had 7 turnovers. It was just a terrible game all around. They got nothing from their bench. I mean, nobody did anything. I mean, they were shut down. So, I mean, honestly.
Yeah, Trevor Ariza's pretty much been your one consistent guy.
Mm-hmm.
And.
But we forget how good of a defensive team Indiana actually is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in all honesty, it was kind of like they in Chicago were like 1-2 as far as your defensive teams. So the fact that they held Washington to 63 points, honestly, does not shock me.
No.
Because they're very good defensively. I was just like,
but, yeah.
Because they've been playing so poorly,
right.
I wasn't expecting it. But the Wizards, they're a young team, you know, so they're going through the learning curve right now as far as, you know, John Wallace is his first playoff, Bradley Beal his first. Trevor Ariza and Nene, I believe, are probably like your lone two guys who have been in playoff series.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Gortat was ever in there prior to this.
He had a little bit with Orlando.
Oh, yeah, with Orlando.
He didn't get time to run, though.
But, you know, for John Wall, he's learning. You know, Bradley Beal is learning. This is big moments,
man.
Yeah,
because like in game two, you know, down the stretch, and he's just taking quick threes
instead of just,
you know, trying to run a play, get a high percentage two. Just play the foul game.
You got
time left. It ain't 12 seconds left. Milk the clock. So, I hope they get better. They're a young team,
mm-hmm.
and they will need a bounce back game for sure.
Oh, yeah, that's without question.
You know, they don't want to go. If Indiana wins a third game in a row, I'm like, oh, they're closing
it. Yeah, that's it. Just psychologically, they'd be done.
I did notice this, and I do think it is somewhat of a ironic that when the Pacers decided to cut Andrew Bynum, Roy Hibbert started balling. I don't know. Is it a coincidence?
Could it be? I mean, it's possible that psychologically when they signed Andrew Bynum, I don't know if he felt threatened or what for his position, but maybe psychologically it just had an effect on him.
Yeah, because I read somewhere that maybe he was a little bothered the fact that they were actually running offensive plays for Andrew Bynum, and they weren't doing that for him. Andrew Bynum's...
He's done.
Yeah.
His knees just can't hold up. He's completely done. And, you know, it is what it is. It happens with big guys. I mean, we've seen it with Greg Oden.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Bynum ain't no.
Has Greg Oden done anything? I think has
no.
He,
he has not played in the playoffs. I mean,
Michael Beasley, where you at on the bench?
We were expecting, you know,
this is all this talk. Ooh, they got Andrew Bynum.
People were like, oh, they got Greg Oden. So what? Okay. Andrew Bynum really didn't think he was going to do much of anything coming to this team. We knew he was behind Mahini.
Mm-hmm.
So he was the third center. It wasn't like he was the two. So, I mean, it doesn't surprise me they let him go. And he might have been one of those bad apples and just, I mean, let's be honest. The fool was getting his hair cut at halftime in the game. I mean, clearly he is not interested in playing basketball. He's done.
He's made some money. He's good.
Yeah.
He'll probably take the year off and then come back the year
He'll go play overseas. Mm-hmm. That's where he needs to go.
He'll sit down and be like, I'm going to try again. Do y'all want me?
Somebody will sign him to like the veteran minimum.
Yeah, give you a 10-day.
Yep. No guaranteed money.
Yeah, you got that $6 million from Cleveland.
You good. Bulls bought him out. Get out of here.
End to the series has actually been the closest series.
Mm-hmm. And it's been the most entertaining.
Hell. Oklahoma City Clippers. Man, this was a tight game. It was a great game. Like, so many lead changes back and forth. But fire and ice.
You know
that's
what?
That's how they fire and ice.
I think the MVP ceremony, I think that did something for this team. I think that might have brought them a little bit closer, a little bit more tight-knit as a group. Because, I mean, when Kevin Durant made the speech he made and kind of expressed how he felt to all of his teammates, I really think a lot of them were like, I think a lot of them honestly were like, damn, dog, I didn't realize you felt this way.
Right.
So, I mean, I think with Russell Westbrook, he's heard all the hoopla and all this stuff. And I'm sure, I don't know if Kevin Durant's expressed, you know, I got your back, dog. Don't trip. Don't worry. Yeah. I don't know if he's actually said it to him. We don't know.
Right. Said it like
but
that.
But said it like that with that emotion. But when he said it, it was like, I think Russell Westbrook was like, all right, dog, it's you and me. Let's get this motherfucker going.
Yeah, because
let's go.
Whenever they brought it up, he's always said that he's had Russell's back.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, to actually have an award and take the time and be like, you know, Russell won through a brick wall for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, look, I love you, man. Don't change your game. And, you know, everybody telling you that we need to basically break up.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you now, let's do this.
Exactly.
You know, they can make it work. Yeah, I figured game two they come out and they did. This game was a heated battle and – you know, I know John said he likes what he saw. You mm-hmm. know, Kevin Durant, 24 shots to Westbrook's 14.
Man, what? This is what needs to happen. I'm telling you. I think it was like, this is meant, he's listening to the show. He has to be. He's listening to me because 10 more shots for Kevin Durant? What? And the efficiency, 7 to 14.
Mm-hmm.
23 points, 8 boards, 13 assists. No, what, two turnovers? Come on, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That is fantastic. That's what I want to see. Get your other teammates involved.
7 and 8 from the free throw lines.
Kevin Durant, 14 to 24, 36 points, 8 boards, 6 assists. I mean, Reggie Jackson had 14, Caron Butler had 14. That's what you need.
Serge Ibaka had 20
on
9
to
10
shooting. That's what I'm talking about. This is why I said if they play like this, they can't lose.
I know,
they
man.
They will just whoop anybody. I mean, the Clippers, hey, I got to give some love. Hey, let's not forget about the Clippers. Blake Griffin has stepped his game up. I'm really liking, besides all the stats, ain't nobody talking about that I like, the 3 blocks. I'm loving the block shots, buddy. I'm loving mm-hmm. it. Please keep it up.
Yeah.
That's what you need. That's what I need to see.
Yeah, he's playing. I'm liking, he has really stepped his 42 minutes.
He has stepped
minutes.
His game up. Ooh, he took a shot, though. Ooh, you saw the bloody nose.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, like, they ain't calling it, but he takes the most hits in the game. Sorry, LeBron. You're not number one on that end.
And he don't complain about it.
Nope.
He don't say nothing.
He knows they're going to get tested, so he comes with it.
Mm-hmm. 34 points, 8 boards. Hey, 4 assists. Can't knock the man. No. And, hey, he made his free throws.
Yeah, and CP3, 8 of 16, 21 points, 16 assists, 3 steals.
No turnovers. I mean, they're in the zone right now. No, both
two
teams.
Two of six from three, yeah. But
both teams are playing well right now. Yeah.
Only,
teams
only three or five from free throw line. That's not enough.
Yeah.
You got to get to the line. Jamal Crawford, dude, you can't shoot 6 of 18.
Nah, you can't take 18 shots, bro.
Not shooting that high, that low a percentage. You know, he's got to be a little more aggressive and going inside and driving. Because he can take and make some long-ass Kobe Bryant-ish three-point shots and all that. But I like to see him get down in there some more.
And I know he's like your score off the bench, but J.J. Redick got to get a little bit more shots.
Yeah, 1 of 6.
I mean, you got to get him going a little bit more. Yeah. He's a shooter as well. You know he can spread the floor. You know, get him some open looks and get him going a little bit.
Yeah, they're going to need him a lot more. You know, I know Jared Dudley's played a little bit. You know, Collison, 0-4 and only 11 minutes.
I'm like, DeAndre Jordan just does his thing. 10 boards, 10 points, 11 boards, 3 blocks. Just killing.
Hey, didn't even go through the free throw line. Good for him. Yeah, but I mean, I'm loving the improvement of that Clipper front line.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is why they gave DeAndre Jordan that $10 million contract.
Mm-hmm.
And we wondered how they would be, and Doc Hazy's just playing well. Yep. DeAndre Jordan is focused, man. Mm-hmm. I'm loving it. Blake Griffin is just stepping his game up. You know, I will say, you know, even though I'm critiquing Jamal Crawford, shout out to him for winning the Sixth Man Award.
Yeah, definitely.
Seeing your boy came in. What, he come in second?
Taj Gibson. Hey, but I mean, good for him. And, you know, good for Jamal Crawford. I'm happy for him. And, you know, he earns it. Mm-hmm. He is that guy. He comes off the bench. He gives you instant offense and can do the damn thing. So, shout out to him. You know, good job, sir.
Mm-hmm. And we know with the Clippers, Andy Rosen, the president, took an indefinite leave of absence so they could bring in.
Of course he did.
What's my man? What's my brother's name? I'm just like, I know I recognize that name. The guy who the league brought
taking
in.
Over?
Yeah. God, yeah, his brother, he used
Dick
to.
Dick Parsons.
Yeah. I remember, I was like, oh, yeah. I don't know, smart brother, man. Mm-hmm. He's worked a lot of Fortune 500 companies. Yeah, well, Time Warner. So I was like, okay. Got two brothers helming the Clippers, baby. And all you get is a black person who can own majority of the team. We win it. Then you got some real change, but. You know, and I heard he said he's not interested in any part of owning the team. But yeah. I was like, oh, okay. I see you, Clippers, NBA. Good move.
Mm-hmm. Nice PR move.
You know, having to deal with Shirley Sterling, who we will get into in second as well.
We'll talk about that.
Another award, Michael Carter Williams wins Rookie of the Year.
Congratulations.
Third player to lead all rookies in points, rebounds, and assists. One of them is your favorite player, the Big O.
That's right.
And he was picked, what, ninth? He was like ninth or something.
Mark Carter Williams, I believe, was the ninth pick, like, overall. I mean, that goes to show it. You don't know. Nope. Anthony Bennett was number one overall.
Like Lakers freaking out. Like, oh, we may not get the number one pick.
Relax. It don't matter.
If you do your homework.
Kobe wasn't the first overall pick.
Nope.
So, I mean, it just relax. You know what I'm saying? Steve Nash was a late round pick. You can find guys anywhere. Ginobili was a second round pick. I mean, gee whiz. You can find guys.
You can find dudes. I mean, even they've been put the last two rookies of the year weren't even in the top five. I mean, there you go. I mean,
and that's all that needs to be said.
So I'm excited to see. Another nominee for the what the fuck moment for this particular organization. I don't get the firing of Mark Jackson.
I don't either.
It is all a management move. He comes off as one of those bosses who's like the CEO, who everybody under him loves working for him. But for some reason, when it comes to the board, they don't like him. He doesn't get along with them. I'm like, well, we don't like you, so you got to go. He's like, but, you know, it's all about results.
Exactly.
I guess not.
I've been winning. I've been getting them to the playoffs. So now it's like,
I mean, come on. They said they what? And like they had been to the playoffs once in like 17 some odd years.
Yep. They haven't been back-to-back, I don't think, ever.
In a minute. And then he comes, you know, first year. I mean, it was a lockout season. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, we going to the playoffs. And you're like, oh, yeah, whatever. And then comes back. I mean, gets Steph Curry to buy in. I don't know what he was doing. When he got there, Steph Curry became the stud.
Yep.
I wasn't hearing nobody pre-Mark Jackson. Steph Curry is the greatest shooter ever in the game. I didn't hear none of that.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, Mark Jackson come in. Splash Brothers.
I think he just kind of let Stephen Curry just be who he is and, you know, just kind of do his own thing. And I don't know how the players feel about him being let go. I'm sure the players are kind of ticked because I'm like, had they gone to the second round, would you have fired him then? Like,
I don't know. Because I think they overachieved last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was not expecting them to beat Denver. And they, you know, they pushed my Spurs to six games, and then after that, it's like, oh, championship! You know, like slow down. Wait a minute. Let's do gradual steps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think they have a lot of talent on this team, but I mean, you're not better than OKC, you're not better than Spurs, and you're not better than the Clippers. You know, now after that, Houston, I don't know, but those three, you ain't better than.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, this wasn't a 60-win team. They are a 50-win team.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's been questions about how he handles his staff because, you know, Mike Malone left and there's been issues with his bench. And I heard Barkley made a good point that he needs to get guys on his bench who he can trust. You know, I don't know if he's just not good at picking assistant coaches. Mm-hmm. And maybe he was just a little bit too cocky and brash for upper management.
Yeah.
But I'm like, the dude is getting wins. You know, if you don't want to give him a five-year deal, I kind of get that. You know, I understand that his offense is very ISO, mm-hmm. and it hasn't worked. So I understand that too. But, you know, he's – dude's winning. And
there's something to his, be said for
the guys buy in. And, mm-hmm. I mean, granted, you spent all this money, but, you know, you got to play Klay Thompson soon. It's not his fault that you wanted to pay Andrew Bogut $36 million, knowing mm-hmm. he's been injury-prone forever.
Paid Andre Iguodala.
Yeah. You know, which basically to me means so long Harrison Barnes.
Or David Lee. Or maybe
David
both.
Lee going to get traded because mm-hmm. you're not losing Klay Thompson. Nope. You were hell no.
Better not.
You better not lose Klay Thompson. You know, shit. I mean, Draymond Green.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's getting a lot out of Draymond. Ain't nobody know who Draymond Green was.
Yep.
And he's got them playing well. So, you know, Mark Jackson going to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. I mean, he was an unknown who, you know, he was an analyst but had never had any head coaching experience. And, you know, maybe he could have used some assistant coaching experience as well. But, you know, he did it. So there will be a lot of teams looking for him. So him being out of a job won't be long. I'm curious, man. I did not get that. They almost got my the what the fuck moment for the week. Mm. Almost. I didn't get it, but – you know, good luck, Mark Jackson. You'll be all right. The dude seems focused. He's never really biased. He's, mm-hmm. you know, wished the team well. And it's just like, hey, stuff happens for a reason. And he's just going to move on. So, good for him.
Exactly.
All right, let's get into these awards now. Start off with the Noice Award.
Noice.
Noice.
Noice. Noice.
I think we might have the same one, but I'm going to let you go ahead and say.
My Noice Award, I think I'm going to give it to Roy Hibbert.
Mm.
I mean, this is a guy who's been getting – he's been getting crapped on.
Yes, he has.
For, like, the past 2 weeks. I'm sure he couldn't go nowhere in Indiana. I mean, he clearly stands out. He's 7'2". So, I'm sure he couldn't go nowhere and without somebody saying something to him. Like, you suck. You're this. You're that.
Double zero. Exactly.
Double donut or whatever number.
I'm the Michelin man.
You know what I'm saying? So – I'm sure he heard it all, and I'm sure, you know, it probably got to him to a little bit of an extent. So I think it was cool that, you know, Paul George took the time to, you know, kind of take him out, go fishing, kind of clear the air, like, you know, don't worry, everything will be fine. And then he came back out, had a 20-plus point game. Then next thing you know, he's playing great again, you know, in their last game, so... Got to give some love to Roy Hibbert. Seems like he's finally got his focus back. And, you know, hopefully he stays on the straight and narrow.
Okay. My Noice Award is going to Kevin Durant. This dude's speech was – and I haven't even watched all of it, but just watching it.
Make you shed a tear.
You know, his seeing – letting his mom know he loved him, like, we from where I came and you was my rock and you the MVP. But more importantly, impressed me more was I watched the interview he had with Ernie Johnson on TNT, and he was asking about how, you know, he was real mature and kind of, you know, understands where he came from and all that. And he was like, yeah, I know, you know, for me, the biggest impact in my life will not be on the court. He's like, you know, it's about the biggest impact for me when we, you know, helping somebody, making their life better, just seeing somebody else succeed. And he was like, you know what? He was like, let me not get it wrong. I want championships. I want 100 championships. And, you know, I want to win. And I want to be the best player ever. He was like, but I know there's more things important in life than that. He was like, you know, I know guys are going to just – like, we live in this society where it's all about wins. If you don't win, you're a loser. You know, if you don't win a championship, you suck. Well, if you win MVP but don't win the championship, then you suck. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I'm all about – when he was like, I'm all about making an impact in my life, which is not going to be on the court, I was like, dude, yes, more people need to be like that.
Exactly.
You know, we push a lot of people.
It's bigger than the sport.
So I almost want to stand up and clap for that. Like,
it's a job.
Yes.
That is what it is. It's an occupation.
Because I remember them saying when they had the storm in Oklahoma City, he was the first person out there like, here's $1 million contributing. So I hope.
You gotta see more. Yeah. You wish there were more brothers like that would come out.
I hope. You know, I know there's been all that talk of him free agent. He's the kind of guy, I hope he stays in Oklahoma City for his career, you know, but I don't know, but
he's
know,
good for the city.
I hope so. And congrats to him. Mm-hmm. Congrats to his mama, you know, and
definitely
good luck, man. Although I am hoping Clippers beat y'all. All right. And we'll get to our what the fuck moment.
Mm-hmm. What the fuck? Slow down. What the fuck?
Mine is going to this dumbass Josh Gordon of the Cleveland Browns.
He can't stay away from the Mary Jane.
Dude, you was just suspended last year.
And in college.
And in college. Oh, yeah. He got suspended for the codeine.
And weed.
He got suspended for weed last
year. At Baylor, yeah.
Oh, okay. And then now this one facing a year suspension from the league. Oh, my God. Dude. And then I keep reading from fools on Twitter. It was like, you know when you're going to get tested.
They tell you.
Like, look, especially if they're giving you 3 months ahead, you should be like, all right, let me mark on the calendar. All right, let me stop smoking about a month.
Let me detox this day. I mean, come on now. I mean, get with the program, dude. I mean, I get all. Larry Sanders, another one. Like, I understand y'all are like, well, it's just marijuana. I mean, what's the big deal? I understand. I get it. It's been legalized in a few states. Everybody's talking about, well, hopefully soon in the future, all 50 states will have it legal. We'll just be like freaking Amsterdam. We'll see if that happens. But I get where you're coming from. Fact of the matter is, it is still an illegal drug where you are located. And in your profession, you are tested all the time for that. And you knowing that fact, I'm like, dude, you're in a sport where you especially can make millions of dollars. Like, dude, you can't stop smoking. You can't smoke weed after you done. You just buy 4 pounds after you done and then go to town, dude. But at least wait till you done.
Right. You just, you know.
Or like Chris said, just know when you know when you're getting tested. Just detox a month before.
I don't get it. I hope he don't come out and pull that card. When
I wish it was legal.
Yeah, they should legalize. Like, shut your ass up. Clearly, because you can't stop. Yeah. God. Like, you can't. That Cleveland had a nice 24 hours of positive energy. And it was like, oh, Johnny Manziel to Josh Gordon. Jordan Cameron is about to be sick.
And nice, like Johnny Manziel to question mark.
Because you want
to
get suspended.
Like, dude, you were the one who's pumping Cleveland to take Johnny Football. Now you ain't going to be able to play with him.
And you're stupid. At least in Larry Sanders' dumbass case, he got his extension and it's guaranteed.
Yeah, dude, you ain't been paid
dude,
yet.
Dude, you ain't getting paid. You may not get paid. God.
You ain't getting a long-term deal for
Cleveland.
You will now be playing on one-year deals probably from now this point forward. You ain't getting a lot of guaranteed money.
The Browns have no luck with wide receivers at all.
I almost kind of glad Sammy Watkins didn't go there. His career might go and take just a downturn.
What about you?
My what the fuck moment goes to this ignorant woman, Shelly Sterling. Who, for all intents and purposes, I guess she was not the one caught saying the racial remarks. Fact of the matter is, lady, you were married to this man for God knows how long. Mm-hmm. Like Chris and I said, you were not born racist. That is something that is learned over time. So you knew who he was. You knew how he was. You were with him for so long. Tells me you didn't really have an issue with his thoughts. So, as far as I'm concerned, you may not be as racist as him, but it wouldn't shock me if you are racist. It would not surprise me.
Don, you was telling me about that stuff about her dressing up as a...
Yeah, I heard something that she impersonated a public health inspector to, I guess, evict some of the tenants that lived at their apartment complexes. So I'm like, clearly you have some of the same thoughts as him.
You involved. You may not have gotten.
You didn't get caught. Yeah,
your hands ain't clean.
You didn't get caught. That's the only thing. So she wants to keep her 50% of the share of the team.
Of course.
And the NBA is looking to pry that away from her as well. Yeah. And I mean, in all honesty, they should, because nobody's going to want to play for her or for them. They're not going to want to play for anybody with the last name Sterling.
Right.
Connected to it. Right. I don't care if it's the son, the daughter, the niece, the nephew, the cousin. I don't care who it is. We don't want anybody connected to your family running this organization anymore. That's done.
Yeah, she just got to be quiet with that. It was like you said, we know what's going on with y'all.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude's fucking around on you.
The thing is, nobody's talking about the fact that he's just been cheating on his wife. Like, that's just besides the fact.
Oh, well, he's rich, and that's just...
Yeah, nobody cares. But he's just... It's okay for him to just cheat on her. Nobody cares, but...
And that's stupid. That new take come out talking about, I want to play with the girls and...
Oh, I wish Magic would tell the girls he has a big dick and all this. Like, what the hell is wrong with you, man? I swear he must have Alzheimer's or something. He's losing it.
That's why he wants his shit taped.
He's whatever. And then she's as dumb as he is. She wants her money. I mean, Doc Rivers already came out and said it would be hard to play under her.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless if she's involved or even just at the games, it's the fact that she's just attached to the name and owning the Clippers is a bad cloud. I mean, even with Donald Sterling being removed and all of this other stuff, there is still a bad cloud over the Clippers, and it is her. And until they're all gone, the bad cloud ain't going nowhere. So I hope she's gone and removed. Because in all honesty, if she does stay, the Clippers are going to go back to
the old
sorry ass, nobody wants to come play for you Clippers. Honestly, nobody's going
to
want...
Yeah, I don't know what she does, but to me, she's come off like she's just the wife.
Yeah.
Donald is the one who's the businessman. And what the fuck do you know?
So,
and then where I read from the NBA is that they designate one person that as the owner.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when Donald Sterling has to give up ownership... Anybody else who owns a piece, it's all gone.
Well, I guess start from scratch. They put it in a trust, and she owns 50% of the trust.
Right. Just like, I mean, you're going to get your money.
I understand. Yeah, she's getting hers.
Right. You want to own the team? No, just wait and get your check.
Yeah, and then move on.
You got to sell the team.
So, I mean.
Be the fuck quiet.
Yeah, business is not going to run smoothly if any Sterling is involved with ownership on the Clippers side. So until they're removed, you know, this is what we're going to be talking about. I mean, it's unfortunate that the Clippers are in the playoffs right now trying to battle OKC and we're dealing with this crap. But, I mean, in all honesty, this is what we're going to be talking. This is what cats are going to be talking about regards to the Clippers.
Yeah.
Until Sterlings are gone. So that's my what the fuck moment.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I don't get it. And before we out, just want to give a shout out to the LA Kings. I forgot to mention them on the last show. Coming back from 3-0.
Hey.
They should have got the Noice one. So we give you that Noice award.
Noice.
For that. You know, they pushing Anaheim
up
2-1 on the Ducks. Nice rivalry, in city rivalry.
Loving it, man. This is what it's about. This is what you want to see.
We'll see the Kings do something. Sorry, it's just, you know, hockey don't get pub like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to make sure we recognize him as well.
Exactly.
I won't say a special day for us, but this is
a memorable
day. Yeah, it's been 10 years since our father passed away.
Rest in peace, Daddy O.
Yeah, man. It's been weird without him.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's
listening.
Oh yeah. Angel by our side, and so we want to give him love, let him know that we miss him.
Of course.
Been a big part of our lives, and I know it's been 10 years. It seems like it's been longer.
Mm-hmm.
Big Lakers fan of the captain, you know, made me a Lakers fan all the time, just playing basketball. And more so than that, just life lessons, being a great father.
Yep.
You know, we see a lot of the negative aspects that – black men get in terms of being a father. Some of it justified, mm-hmm. you know, so and all I can say is, you know, if I'm anywhere near half the dude my father was,
that'll mean a lot. Proud. Exactly. Yeah. That definitely mean a lot. And, you know, taught us just about being just good people in general. You know, black people have the stereotype about them that we're thugs and we're this and we're that. But, you know, there are a lot of us out there that are just good, wholesome people and, you know, relatively, you know, just good cats, you know. And we just want to do right and do well in life and succeed and, you know, help others to succeed. So there's nothing wrong with lending out a helping hand to anybody. You know, if you see somebody in need, you know, help them out. Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing wrong with that. So, you know, and
that's what he was about.
Yeah, always helping people. Give you the shirt off his back. Yeah. As mom would say, he was kind to a fault. So
right.
I mean, it just is. And it rubbed off on both of us. And, you know, we do what we can to help other people. I mean, but, you know, at the same time, we got to help ourselves as well. So rest in peace to our father, Harvey J. Lehman. And you will be missed and always have been and will always be.
Yes, sir. We love you.
Yes, sir. I love you.
So we want to thank y'all for tuning into the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by the Black Is Network. Please check us out on iTunes, on Stitcher Radio. Leave us 5-star reviews on both. Just leave us a review. Let us know what you think. Any comments, any feedback, leave them there. Also, you can find us at www.blackisonline.com. You can check out all the shows from the Black Is Network. We had The Break, hosted by Casey Lehman.
Hold on, sister.
We just put out an episode that we did with the In Deep show. Shout out to the In Deep crew. Big B, Queen Neen, Drew Baby, Mark the Doc Wiley, 15 Word Assassin. Oh, it was comedy, and we will be releasing part 2 this week. Also, we got the Brown Girl Hour with KC and T. Mm-hmm. They had Leticia from the Pisces Life on there, talking about being only children. I knew about that for about 7.5 years, and then that was it. But I love having a brother, though.
That's right.
We also got The Jam with Merc 80. People love that show for all y'all music heads. Great interview show as well. And I know Coach Connection has been missing MIA for a minute, but you know, Brother Michael's on the grind, but I think he will be coming back soon with something as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, please check out and support all the shows. We appreciate any support y'all give for us. If y'all want to hit us up directly, you can email us, thebrotherslehman@gmail.com, on Twitter, @brotherslehman, or hit us up on the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, we definitely want to thank y'all for tuning in, for all the continuing listeners. We definitely thank y'all for continuing to listen to us. For your first-time listeners, thank y'all for tuning in to us. Go ahead and tell everybody about the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. Tell your mama, daddy, your sisters, your brothers, your aunties, uncles, nieces, nephews, cousins, friends, relatives. Tell your dogs, cats, chickens, ducks, roosters, goblins, geckos. I don't know. Tell everybody about the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour, where it goes down. And we have been your hosts, Chris and Jonathan, where we're giving it to you strong and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all. Holla.
Hopefully this serves as motivation. They're never saying that kind of sustain. run into. It's like taming a shrew. Living life, fish experience proportions. Knowing better, I've experienced distortions. And through the in and outs of life's revolving doors, I'm seeing that I'm still getting more. Yeah, I'm coming in. I'm gonna see my friends to the top floor. It seems it never ends. Heaven never ends. Yeah, it never ends. It be going on. It's phenomenon. Like a newborn or a Stevie song. It be going on. Do you feel it? 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 Snare drum go. My brother Shaka would have wanted me to say this to y'all. Don't lose sight, y'all, without giving the fight. Fight. Father, yo, your spirit is draping me, never escaping me. I'm happy that I had you in my grasp.